Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Before I go any further, want to go through some things, happenings during the week, etc. But Tahashi, Wana.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
All right. Who has Kunkashlata or Kunkashlata? I don't know. 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 I We try our stitch it, and that was our stitch. You have Unshin and Lakotash La Lakota, I think Unshika, Unshiki Lakotash La Homitakias.
Oh, I'll stay. And thank you for those good prayers. And keep praying, people, for Lexi, Leonard Crow Dog. He's still, you know. But I understand they're going to have a weepy tonight and, you know, hope he's doing, you know. You know, it really sounds, sometimes I don't mean to sound selfish, but all of us, we get this thing where we don't want somebody to leave. We don't want somebody to go, you know, because we care for them, their relatives and, you know, but at the same time, I always like to be reminded that it's up to them, you know, it's up to them and Wakantanka, you know, if it's time to go and it's better to go, we have to appreciate that. And, you know, so, you know, like Lexi, you know, I forget how old he is. He's like 84 years old or something like that right now. And we, you know, he's been here a long time, and we don't want to lose people like him, you know. I was thinking about one of his quotes, you know, that he said. He said, miracles no longer happen. Because no one believes in miracles today. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, that's a powerful thought, huh, Tashi?
Heck yeah, I know, but it's true.
Yeah, it's because today nobody has this feelings, you know, for things to happen, like we're losing all the real healers, like him, you know, and in a short time, you know, all of our real healers are you know, up there in age, you know,
yeah.
In 20 years, there's going to be no real healers no more, just people that picked it up as they went, you know, but these
yeah.
guys like Tahashi Rick and Lexi Leonard, you know, these guys been doing this since they was born. They was born this way, 7, 8 years old. They was already on the mission, you know. They know
yep.
all about people. You know, modern day spiritual leaders think you're a spiritual leader if you run a sweat or if you have a Sundance. But a lot of these people doing this, having Sundances and stuff, they weren't at it 8, 9 years old. They don't know what Pejuta is, what medicines are used out there. You know, they don't know that. These guys know this. They were taught from their grandmas, from, you know, that's how come we get educated from them. We learn this. We learn where to get chinchasa, when to get it. We learn how to make chanupas. We learn when to do it, you know. We learn what to do when the wakias come and all this. These guys taught us all of this. And being with them, being around them is such an honor to know these guys and sit there and listen to them talk, you know. I always enjoy talking to Leonard. You know, like the best time that I communicate with him is like in the middle of the year, you know, close to Sundance, and at Sundance time, you know, you can't get near him because they got the big, long ass-kissing lines. That's what his daughter said. I said, what are all those people over there waiting for? She said, oh, that's the ass-kissing line. You see all kinds of Washichu and all kinds of people over there, you know, gonna, you know. And I'm honored that these guys have that much respect around the world, you know. And I thank them, but so just thinking about Lexi, you know, and he's right. Our people are not believers no more. That's why I gave somebody some pejuta on there. They said, man, I drank the whole thing and nothing happened, you know. I said, what? You know? And I said, but I told you what they asked. They wanted you to take it this many times and this much at a time, and you have to be loyal to it. Well, I did that. I said, well, I know you didn't do that, because I know when I gave you that pejuta, and I know how long it's going to last. You say you ran out, you know, so I know you're full of bullshit, you know. You know, I mean, when they give us pejuta, they tell us how much to take and when to take it, you know, and we have to be loyal to it, you know. And so, like if you don't believe in miracles, ain't no miracle going to happen, you know. We have to believe in this way and these things, you know. I mean, I don't understand, Tanshi, how people can not believe in a miracle, but look at their child. They don't think that child's a miracle from Wakantanka, you know. They don't think that Tunkashila does these things. How can we exist? But they, oh man, I was up on the hill all night, nothing happened, you know.
And that's crazy. Those type of people, see, they want it. They want to be it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
All of them, that's why, you know, these wannabe. You don't go on a hill to pray for, you know, to pray for something like that, you know. If it's going to come to you, it'll come to you naturally. And these medicine men, the real ones, they'll tell you that. You know, they were born that way. And they always say, don't envy me because of the life I live. And a lot of people that, these Johnny Come Ladies or whatever you want to call them, you know, all these wannabes, they expect it to come pouring out on them. You know, I'm going to be holier now when I come off that. It doesn't work that way. You know, there's a lot of years that, you know, there's these people do it for years and years. Some people go a lifetime without seeing anything, you know, or knowing anything. And yet they still want it. That's the problem. The wanting it and the not wanting it are two different things, you know. And most of these wannabes, that's what they are. They're overnight medicine men. You know, they, like you said, he goes on the hill and, oh, nothing happened to me. That means nothing happened to you. That tells you in itself what it is, you know. And accept that. That's who you are, you know. And but yet a lot of these guys, they oh, this guy said this guy said that. You know, remember when all of this, before all of this Indian stuff started, everybody wanted to be Washichu. Nobody wanted to be Lakota. Nobody wanted to be Indian. And now all of a sudden it's reversed, you know. They're all coming on asking for Indian names. Indian names are from India, you know. Lakota names are natural names, and those are even disappearing now. That in itself ought to tell people something. You know, there's too many Joseph Smiths around now, you know. And those are things that are real. It's reality is if you care for your people, be who you are, because you're part of that regardless. And these real medicine men, use them accordingly. You know, my brother, I never go to him all the time, you know. But when I do need him, he's there for me, you know, and I don't go to him for foolish things. If I'm real sick, I go to him. You know, speaking of miracles, I'm right here. You know, I don't say this, but, you know, I got cured of cancer. You know, not the Washington's didn't do it. The spirits did it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it happened just one night. That's all it took. One time they touched me, that was it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so people talk, like you were saying, these miracles, they happen. But yet people today, like, they don't want to understand it. They don't want to see it. They want to be it. That's what it is, see. They want to be that. You know, there's a lot of things that we lived with, that we've seen in our lifetimes because of who we are, because of what we lived with. But we don't go around, you know, trying to pull people into something that we ain't, you know. Like me and myself always tell people, if you have a dream, best thing for you to do is wipe it away. Because the understanding of it today, look at this, these men, look at Leonard. You know, I had a good long talk with him a couple of years ago, and I told him that we need his knowledge. He was having a real hard time. And I said, we need your knowledge. I said, there's a lot of things you know that the people of today don't know. And I said, we need that. And it brought him out of that, you know, and now he's back at it again, you know. And these things, these people like that, I wish we could keep them forever, but we can't. Remember that year, Quincy, that we lost 15 medicine men, real medicine. And think about that. Why did they take 15 of them from us? You know, there's a reason why. Look at the way the people are. All these wannabes, all these people wanting to be this, wanting to be that, go around bullshitting people. I'm this, I'm that. What about your people, your real people? You know, and like you were saying, that little kid, that's a miracle in itself. But yet people don't look at that kid as that, see? Oh, that's something I did, you know? I mean, come on, you know, get off your high horse. Live real, you know? That kid is a miracle, you know? Think about it. Look at the hands of a little baby. You know, that in itself, the way it works, that's a miracle, you know what I mean? And these wannabes today, there's too many wannabes. Everybody wants to be a medicine man. Everybody. I don't know why. What is it? Why do they want that? You know.
Well, you know what I know about real medicine man. It's so hard. They don't get no rest. They can't sleep because there's people on their door. Even when they're sick in the hospital, there's people in there, you know, bothering them. You know, they don't, real ones don't get no peace. And people that have this dream, man, it's hard to do this stuff. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, and people are too lazy to do that. You know, they want to have all this power, but they want to sit around like El Chapo or somebody, you know, and have people come bowing down to them and buying them new trucks and cars and all this stuff. And most of these guys, you know, like she, all winter long you'll see them in an old beat up car driving down the road, you know, with a tire on the roof, yeah. Or stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to get in on that power, so they have all these followers, you know, that come. But one thing you brought to my attention and I wanted to mention, you know, the difference between us and Christianity and evangelism. You know, these Christians and this evangelism, what they do is they run around and knock door to door to get people to go their way, to be in their religion, to be Christian or be whatever. And in our way, you know, in our way, we have to earn these things, you know. We have to earn them. The time we're young, we don't go run over and run down the road, hey, you better come and make a chanupa, you better do this, you better do that, you know, you better, you know. All our ways come to us naturally, you know. It's naturally how it comes. It comes when you don't expect it. You know, you could be, you know, it's like these Christians, oh, I've seen the light. They wait till they're on death row, and then they, oh, I'm going to pray, you know. Or they wait till someone pulls a gun on their head. Then they, oh, God, please help me, you know. You know,
yeah.
That's how it comes to them. With us, it comes in a different way, you know. You know, when we get, when we find our way, you know, like you, my brother, myself, and many others, it comes to us in a good way. We didn't wait till we're have a gun to our head or wait till we're getting a death sentence, you know, or something like that, you know. It's like this inspiration comes to us, you know, and we're following our people, our culture, you know, our grandpas, our uncles, you know, and all our relatives that live this way, and it comes to us naturally. We don't go door to door knocking and telling people, hey, do this, do that, do this, and you'll have seven virgins or whatever. Do this, and you'll have have this White House or something. You know, what are we told when we do this? I always hear this: hey, you better not do that. Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know. It's like, I'm happy my brother Sundance, you know, I'm happy that he carries Chanupa. I remember in the beginning, I was thinking, you know, like when relatives want to do this, we say, no, just hang there. We'll do it, you know, because it's hard. And then when one of them gets in with you, you know that they're ready, you know that, because it's their own, it's their own choice, you know. But it's like some people go up there and they tell the leader, hey, I want a Sundance next year. He said, well, you better wait till next year. Wait, you know, it tells them because he's warning them what they're going to get into. But Christianity's different. Yeah, do it right now. Come, get on your knees and let us pray for you. You know, in front of everybody. You know, like I said, they was doing that in church over here a couple weeks ago. They had one. I walked in to get something, and I, you know, because they're having a barbecue, these Christians, and I went in to get something. And when I went in there, they had one of my relatives on his knees, and then all these Washichu was over praying over him. Man, I hauled ass out of there, you know. So wow, what are they doing? They said, you know, I said, see, that's how they do it, you know, to have. I was I said, man, let me get the hell out of there, you know. And the only reason why he is down on his knees like that, because, you know, he was one of my relatives that was a little tuned up, and he was going for anything, you know. He was hoping that they'd pay him at the end of it.
trying to get a drink of that wine.
Yeah. But, you know, this stuff happens, you know, and it's just something to think about, you know. But let me move on it, and we'll go back and touch base on this stuff, because one thing, you know, like it's that time of the year for, you know, and we know it, and you was gone helping out prepare things for the season, this time of the season. I'm glad Sundance coming and all these things coming down, you know. And so it's a good time to, you know, to prepare and things like that. We prepare all year long, nothing different. But, you know, right now we go through, when the Wakiyas come back, we get ready, you know. So just wanted to mention that. But Yeah.
Kashi, you know, these people that say they go on the hill, they don't see nothing. I wonder if they ever look down. There's probably ants, spiders. There's all kinds of life beneath you.
Yeah.
And above you, those birds. You know what? They must be there for one reason. There's plenty of things that are happening around you, even though you're by yourself. There's a lot of things helping you. I wonder if they ever think of that, these people that say they don't see nothing. You know, there's
yeah.
plenty to see. Look around you. You know, life is all around you.
And I remember this. Sometimes you better, maybe you don't want to see something. I remember
yeah.
this. They were telling me about a guy they put on the hill. And next
yeah.
day they were driving down Highway 18 and he was there hitchhiking with his Sundance skirt on.
Yeah, yeah.
He got the shit scared out of him up there, so he took off. And
yeah.
You left everything there and got the hell off. And, you might not want to see something. You better
yeah.
just go up there, and do it, do what you're there for, to pray for the people and pray and all that. And don't
yeah.
expect nothing because I learned from experience, you never know what can happen. I mean, for damn sure, ain't seven virgins going to show up there.
No.
And,
I mean, I don't go up there to see anything.
Yeah. I go up there to pray because, I prefer to be by myself too, but you
yeah.
never know what kind of company could show up.
Yeah, that's
and
the thing.
And when you get company up there, how do you deal with it? Or like you said,
yeah.
look down. What do you
yeah.
do when you're on Humblecha and all of a sudden a rattlesnake crawls in with you? What do
yeah.
you do? What do you do if
yeah.
all of a sudden some coyote starts circling you in there? What do you do?
Yeah.
Or what do you, you don't know what's going on, but the one thing is you're there when they put you up and you're there till they take you down. And if you haul ass between that time,
that's what they call the University of the Universe. There's more teachings there
yeah.
than any college put together, And people
yeah.
don't realize that. They go up there and say, I want to see something. Why do you want to see something? It's there in front of you.
Yeah.
Be happy with what you are and who you are, These are the things that a lot of these people don't understand, Shit, I'm happy with the life I live. I don't want to change it.
Hey, Toshi, why? Because out there in the world, out there, they use this word, and this word is very misleading. The English word of it, it's called vision quest,
Yeah.
And these guys go up there on a vision quest to have a vision, And what do we go up there for? What does Lakotas go up there for,
Yeah.
Why do we go up there?
Yeah.
it's a different purpose. But if a vision happens or whatever, never know. But what I've always went up there for and what I was, is to pray, because to think about something, to pray for something, I mean, not no vision either, but to pray for people and pray for health for people, or to have a cleaner, purer heart when you leave,
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
All year long we go through things, and if we don't go purify sweat or whatever we do, we have a funky neck.
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah.
So we need to purify. We need to do things, and that's what's happening in this time of the year, you know. And you know, like people have this our people. I'm talking about our people. Our people know they don't go up there to have this great vision and have all this stuff. Because, like you said, we're not ready for it. We don't want it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You can't go up there for something that you can't handle, you know, something too big to handle. You don't want that. You just want to, you know, come off, you know, with a purer heart and a better understanding and feeling better and you know, praying for relatives and things, you know. You don't go up there wanting to, you know, have all this, have something more than you can handle, because I'm happy, like you just said, I'm happy the way I am. I'm happy that I can say been there, done that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm happy to know that there's places above, steps that are higher that I know that I couldn't handle. And I'm glad I never took those steps. I'm glad, like you said, I went in ceremony and had them washed, you know, went in and had them washed dreams and this, that, because, you know, it's easier just to be a Chewichasha, you know. It's easier to be simple, you know. And I appreciate that, but I don't mean I don't support the bigger things, because I support the ones who have the dreams. I support the leaders, the medicine men. I support them, and I do whatever, you know. Like yesterday, I went and they were putting somebody on the hill over here. You know, and I just happened to be in Inipi, you know, so I went and helped out. You know, I could have, you know, played dumb and just left, but I see what knowledge I have, and in some ways, I have enough skill to help out in these kind of things, you know. And you know, hope that the person going up there is just in, you know, just going up in a humble way. And I seen it look pretty humble to me, so, you know. So I didn't, you know, but we've been there and watched people go up there wanting these big, you know, dreams, and hadn't we seen some? We seen some things go up there, you know, but.
Yeah,
that's why I'm glad you're here, member. You know, I'm glad you're here because I know how many. I mean, I don't know how many times, but there was times when I seen you going up, you know, and I seen you doing a lot for your family, for the people, and the main thing is the privilege of having you and other leaders here to help us to give this, to preserve what we need to live. You know, we need everything you have to offer. We need what Lexi Leonard and what's left of our spiritual leaders. It's a privilege what they give us, you know. It's a privilege that they're here, that our people are still here doing their best to keep things going on, to keep the Inipis happening, to keep the songs, you know, like we talked about last week, to keep the songs, these sacred, beautiful, beautiful songs that our people sing, you know. These words in these songs and these melodies and this drum beats and all that, you know. We're the only ones have this stuff, you know. A lot of other tribes lost it. And the ones that do have it, I like to hear them, you know. I'm proud to hear that they're doing it, you know. I went to Sweat Lodge, different tribes, and heard them sing their own language. I like that, you know, that people are really trying to hold on to the language, you know, and their way. So, you know, all the listeners here, Ember, are honored when you speak the language. They're honored to, and a lot of people, you know, and I'm not, you know, trying to overdo it, you know. I'm not trying to be in the big suck ass line. but you know, I don't need to be in that line because you're Tahunshi and I'm automatically there.
You know?
I don't need to wait in line. I'm automatically there, you know. You know,
we're in it together.
Yeah, we've been in it together for so long, for so many years. I was thinking about it. You know, somebody was talking and I was thinking about all these years, you know. You know, all the people that were still alive when we were doing this, you know, like, you know, I was remembering all the good times, you know, watching my brother there dive in the pool with no water and stuff like
there
that.
You go.
You know?
Yeah.
Remember that one? ran back and threw that rope up and dove back to break off. And here there's too much rope. He just landed on the ground. The rope just flopped on him, you know.
The waves went way out.
Yeah. Under you hear them say, "Get down." Get down, bro. You know, but a lot of good, happy memories in those serious times of suffering, you know, that we do, you know. So, but anyway, you know, I pray for all our tribes across the nation, north and south, to try and find. If you don't have your language, it's there. Look for it. If those songs, look for them songs, you know, they're there, you know, and if not, like all the time, come with us. You're our relatives. You know, come with us, you know, we'll be there, you know, we have a lot of our, look at how many people Sundance with us, bro. We go down, so I go down during the year, I go down Oklahoma, there's our Oklahoma bros, jump and sweat with them, you know, and in Utah, California, all over in East Coast, you know, up there with Tom Red Eye, you know, up there in Salmonenka, New York, you know, you know, he's Kuja right now, so I pray for him too, you know.
Tom's a good old guy.
See, one time he ran over a bear in his Harley, you know, over there where he lives.
Gave a bear a ride.
Hit that bear and he spun around, you know, and couldn't let go of the gas, so him and the bear was swinging in circles, you know. And they were both looking. They're both looking at each other. Both of them. He's holding on to the motorcycle. The bear's holding on to them, you know, because he don't know what's going on either, you know. You know, but anyway, ended up, the bear didn't make it, you know, he died right there, but, you know, but
it's a good Tom made
know,
it.
Yeah, yeah, but the bros didn't know if he was dead or what. You know, he didn't know how the hell to get unhooked was a, you know.
Yeah, damn.
You know, I told him, well, I'll never know. You know, I said my grandma said if you run over something or you cause the death or you're there when something dies, you gotta pray for it, you know? And, and I said, I hope you prayed for that bear. I said, 'cause now you probably got part bear inside of you.
Hey,
you could have a bear spirit in you.
Maybe
haunting
you.
Yeah. 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 You might start wanting to hibernate for the winter, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but.
Hello, Tom.
But
you know,
Tom.
First time we ever met Tom, he came to the Sundance. And on the day he was going to pierce, he asked the helpers, he said, when am I going to get my Novocaine?
Yeah.
Everybody looked at him. Remember that? Remember?
Yeah.
He asked me that.
He said, are they going to give Novocaine? I said, yeah, man. They'll give you some. Just go out there, you know.
Hurry up, get out there.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I remember these guys come running out in the teepee at night. They said, hey, did you guys get water? I said, yep. I was really lying, too. We didn't get no water, you know. They, some kind of rumor, you know. I told him, I said, yeah, we got water. I said, a whole cup full. I held my hand like that. Ah, they went running to the helper's teepee, you know. We didn't get no water. And then I heard him snitch me up. I really took off in the teepee, you know. Oh, he said that you gave water, you know.
There was always something crazy going on.
Yeah, you know, but people, it's just like there were some women say, hey, what time we get our sandwiches, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you hear stuff when people come the first time, you know. They usually come right on time, right about 12 noon. They'll be passing them out. I hope you like tuna fish, you know. Hope you like Subway. They give chips
them
with them, too, you know. Yeah. Then by 1 o'clock, they're looking at you. They're looking at you all dirty because you lied to them, you know.
Yeah. Where's my tuna sandwich?
Yeah. But, you know, this country's a violent country, Toshi. You know, it's really violent.
It
look at some guy in San Jose, a Washichu again, went in there and shot up the place, you know. You know, here's what I learned about the Washichu, you know. When we get upset or frustrated at people or something, what do? We usually just say hell with them and go, you know, ignore them unless they start bullying you or following you. But I mean, you know, they said this guy every day bitched about his job, and he made $110,000 a year at that job. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
He made $110,000 a year. How much is that a month? Like what, $12,000-$13,000 a month he made? Damn.
Yeah, about 12 grand a month.
Yeah, see, man, how can you be griping at that, you know? But, you know, they're never happy. You know, you look at all these rock stars, you know, like Motley Crue, how they bitch and quit the band, you know, and they're millionaires, but they give all this up, you know? And it's just crazy how they are, but it's really violent country. There's a lot of things like Black Lives Matter, you know, put attention on the cops, you know, brought attention to them, and they convicted a cop and they got a couple more cops arrested in Washington for killing a black guy, and you know, all over they're doing this, but it don't change the cops. You know, what they need to do is quit giving them cops guns. You know, cops don't need guns. What do they need guns for?
Yeah.
You know? And quit giving white people guns, you know? Ban whites from having guns. You know, that's the problem, you know, giving them white people guns. But they need to take the guns from the cops. You go to Europe, to other places, those cops don't carry guns unless, like in Russia, they have to have years and years on the cop force before they're qualified to have a gun. They don't have guns, you know? And, you know, and they don't have, people don't run around with guns either. They'll lock you up. You know, you have to qualify to have a rifle, you know, and some, you know, in a lot of European countries and other countries, they don't allow guns, you know, cops don't have guns. Over here, it's a violent country. I mean, they're killing people. Some guys just, some lady and man walked out there in their front yard. Two military veterans, a man and woman, and someone just drove up and blasted them, they say, for no reason. There's so much stuff that happens in this country, violent. But the American is always going to live in violence. He's always going to live in war because he kills women and children. When you kill women and children, there is no peace for you, never. You're going to always live in a threat of your own life. And that's why the American, you know, you get in a Washichu mad, he wants to come after you to kill you. You know, he ain't going to ignore you and go about his business and say, man, I ain't going to go over there no more. What they start doing right away is plotting how to kill you if you piss off a Washichu. If you piss off a Washichu, especially a cop, that guy's going to come and get your ass. That's what they do. It's in their blood. They're vindictive. They're hateful. They're racist. And not only are they evil, they're wicked. You know, you got to keep away from them and try to avoid them Washichu. Because even one that seems really nice, you know, and humble and has a big Colgate smile, that dude, if you say the wrong thing to him, next thing he changes, he starts plotting against you. Or a Washicha, if he likes your woman, man, he'll figure out how to kill you to get your woman, you know. That's how they are. You used to read about that all the time, too. They're killing over love affairs and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, they need to take guns. But let me go through a couple more things, and then, you know, I want the lines open so we could ask them. I was thinking, you know, I got kicked off Facebook again, you know. No big. Yeah.
Hey, with you this time, Preston.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I got kicked off for? Because just for saying, check this out. Some white guy had a post up where a Russian girl got 2 years in prison for protesting in Russia. But see what they're protesting is there's a guy named Navalny. He's a big American suckass, and then he's racist to people of color. And he don't like Putin, so he goes around the world, gets free tickets, because any Russian that don't like Putin automatically gets a visa to go to their country and talk about how bad Putin is. Like, they had Pussy Riot, that band. They had them come over, and they went to prison. They got out. Right after they got out, they was in New York, really talking about how bad Russia is. But if Russia's so bad, how did they get a visa to leave Russia to come to America to put them down? That shows you Russia isn't like what they say. Anyway, long story short, I disagreed with this. I said, you know what? You guys act like, I put on Facebook, you act like America's a holy country, you know?
Yeah,
it's all
it's
holy over here, you know? I said, you know, I said, you know what? Look at our water protectors. How much time did Red Font, was she locked up for? For what, 4 years? And there's a whole bunch of other ones locked up for protesting. Some of them they're having to make deals and everything. Look what they did to Nick Kilson for protesting. You see, these white people, they get on Facebook and get Indians involved in it, start talking about how bad Russia and Venezuela is and how other countries are treating their protesters, you know, I agree. But yet these protesters are protesting because they don't like one man. Are they protesting because they're supporting one criminal person, you know, because, you know, like in Venezuela, they want Guaido to take over Maduro. And just like they did in Iraq and Afghanistan, the Americans want to pick the leaders in these countries. And these protesters support that. That's why they got rid of Gaddafi. You know, anyway, I made a comment about this, you know, and Facebook didn't like it. They got rid of my ass just for saying that, you know, and, you know, just for saying, you know, that look what the Americans do. This ain't no holy country. And then right away, some Mexican guy gets on. He said, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is a holy country. You know, he's saying, I know this land is Wakan. I know it, but it's because we made it that way. I'm talking about the Americans, you know. It's not a holy country. It's, you know, they're wicked. You know, they're still doing stuff. And,
you know,
but you
constantly talking about that. There's that one guy, I don't know, I can't remember his name, but not too long ago, he said that the Indians, he tried to say that there was nobody here. They came and made this country. They discovered it, you know. And,
yeah, that
and
was he, Rick Santorum.
There you go, that, you know, that dude. But anyway, you know, look at that. He doesn't want to tell how they murdered, you know, all these Native Americans. Some people put it as high as 300 million Natives, you know, or real Americans that they murdered for this country. And yet he didn't want to put that out there. He tried to say that they came and there's nobody here, so they, you know, they made a country out of nothing. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
America is one of the most violent and terrible countries. Anywhere they talk about a terrorist, it's Americans that are in there terrorizing these people with another group because of what they want. They want something there. There's ulterior motive to their plans, but they don't tell that.
What
might be gas, might be something else.
What?
But they start all these terror groups in these other countries. America does this.
What gets me is, yeah, those, they come on our sites and Facebook and stuff like that, white guys, because Indians have white buddies, and they let these white guys come around and brainwash them how bad Russia is, how bad China is, and how bad all them countries are. They brainwash them about it. And so our Indian people start saying, yeah, Russian, damn that, damn that. the Indians just forgot what the hell's going on with us. And look at,
yep.
This is all I wrote. I said the Americans start those protests in other, the Americans start those protests in other countries for regime change. They sponsor these young people. They call it destabilization. Russians protested for them locking up Navalny, a racist man against other cultures. They rioted for one man. Now Belarus is doing the same. Americans got rid of Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, and many others and used media to call them bad people. Venezuela is in process. The Americans are trying to overthrow their leader and place a suck-ass there. The Americans support putting their nose in other business, but sure sent a lot of water protectors to jail and even prison. Americans also kill its own citizens. Americans are not holy people, neither is the American. That's what I wrote, and they kicked me off Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's
you
the
know,
truth. They can't handle the truth.
Yep. You see? And... I told him, I said, if you don't like us Indians on Facebook, why don't you put a sign, no Indians welcome? We've been there, done that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because but you see, my point is how our people get involved in that racist, how our people get involved in them discrimination. No Indian should be putting down a Chinese, should be putting down a Russian, should be putting down Venezuela, Brazil, Africa, or no place. They should look at what the hell's going on with us, who the hell's got us all occupied and terrorized.
Killing us all.
Yeah.
That's
no Indians. When I hear Indians over there making fun of our attack and joining in with the white man, you know, I just get rid of them. They wonder, how come you're mad at me,
you white
mother boo-boo Bruce, you know?
You know,
it's, I don't hate white people. You know, I don't hate white people per se. I don't, you know, I'll still play with a white baby and love them up and, you know, help them out. But what I'm saying is they're not holy because they're white. And you shouldn't be listening to everything they say. How do we know Saddam Hussein was a bad guy? We don't know that. They told us he was bad. They told us Osama bin Laden was behind bombing 9/11. And are we supposed to believe everything they say? Are we supposed to? And then they come up with their evidence. Just like they did with Leonard Peltier. They manufactured their own evidence. Just like they manufactured their own science. They say, oh, you guys came here 10,000 years ago. And then pretty soon they say, we all came from Africa. And then they come up with a new study finds this, you know. And it's always some other different stuff. But I don't like to see our people getting involved in being racist and discriminating on other cultures just because the white man told them.
Just because, you know, that's what gets me. They never did nothing against us.
Yeah.
They, you know, the country, these people, these other countries, they've never done nothing against us. As a matter of fact, Venezuela gave a bunch of money to help with the propane and the fuel.
Propane.
Oglalasu tribe, you know. To me,
and us
they
too.
What did white America do? Not a damn thing, you know. That's
you know
the,
what?
See, this is the thing that I'm saying. You know, these people gotta realize that these other countries are not our enemy. They never did nothing to the Native American or the Lakota people. They want to help.
You know,
us.
Russia never took a dime from the Lakota people. But the Americans took $30 billion, which came out of IHS and different other things, and gave it to the Ukrainians.
Yeah.
Because the Ukrainians are sucking their ass to be like over here. And that's what's happening. That's right now in Belarus, they have a thing going on because Belarus hijacked a jet or whatever, made it land it. yanked out two Cellcasters off their plane, you know, so now the world's mad at them.
Yeah.
And these two Cellcasters were over there starting trouble around the world, getting free tickets to talk bad about the Belarusian president. Well, I know people, they like that Belarusian president. They call him Grandpa because he does good things for the people over there. And Belarus lives cheap. You know, a way of life is really cheap over there. They still have good cities. They have good restaurants, good things happening. So, but people bitch when you slip an American in there and start saying, yeah, your leader's making money and you're not. Your leader's ripping you off and you don't get nothing. So that's what they do, you know. But that's what's going on in this world. And our Indian people suffer for whatever this country. When this country supports one of them suck-ass countries, what happens? The money comes from our IHS, comes from our funds, and everything else, you know? So why do our Indians go get involved in that stuff, you know? End of my story, you know?
You know, that's what I was just talking about. You know, what have they ever done against the Indian people or the Lakotas of America? Not a damn thing. So why is it that we want to hate another country because of Washington told us that, you know? Think about that. Why is that Washington controlling your mind? You know, you gotta mind your own thing. What did they do to us? They didn't do a damn thing to me. As a matter of fact, you know, if you go there, they probably treat you damn good because of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Because that happened to me.
Yeah, they know the what we're going through over here, these other countries. And they, like I say, Venezuela helped us out. You know, these people that are hating on these other countries and their native, they better really think about who they should be hating. Our biggest oppressor is the Washitu, the American Washitu, not these other countries. The battle is here, not with these other countries. I don't believe a word the Washitu says. Look at this so-called president that everybody voted in. Right now he's got the opportunity to enact a gun law, but yet he doesn't want to do it because he's afraid of the Washitus. He's afraid of these NRA people, you know. He doesn't want to do it.
Hey,
that's right. Look at that
and how long,
that shot into, you know.
How long would it take Biden to go over and say, okay, let's open these treaties and activate them the way we promised? How long does it take them to do that? Just a stroke of the pen.
Yeah.
Because they already made the treaties. And Philip, you're on. But they already made the treaties. They already made them. So there's no more to be made. All they got to do is make them happen, which they're not. You see? So a stroke of the pen, he can say, you know what? Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., these treaties are activated. All that land over there is Lakota land. All that Cheyenne land, all that's over here, all these Indians, blah, 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 those sacred sites, all he has to do. They're already, the treaties are already made. All they got to do is honor them, you know? So,
and they're not going to do that. He's not going to do that. None of them will do that.
No. So why is the American Indian movement voting for them? That's my point.
I
know not you. You're here on our side. But you know what I'm talking about, Philip.
Yep,
you know what I'm talking about. Why is these American Indian movement over there voting, sucking their ass? Why are they doing that? Why are they over there supporting the police? Why are they doing that? You know, everything that's going bad in our country, we're here. The American Indian Movement is here to help bring justice, help, you know, bring justice. So how we bring in justice by voting for Biden? How we bring in justice by sitting there in a meeting with a cop? You know, how are we having justice by letting a cop give us a plaque? You know?
Well, I think the only way that you're going to get those questions answered is by the people that are involved in that kind of behavior to call into the show and answer the question. Answer the question. They're the ones that are.
No, I don't expect you to answer the question, Philip, and I don't expect Bimber to answer the question. I don't expect but you brought up a good point, and I did do this. I did set a call out. You guys should come in and call into the radio show and explain to us what the hell is going on. You know, explain to us and quit being big punks and being over there acting like you're too cool or something, you know, with your red tennis shoes on, you know, wearing red, 65 years old and wearing red tennis shoes to look cool. Cause he got a new lady, don't you know? You know, and you know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Why don't these big tough guys call in the radio show right now? Cause they got their little rats listening, saying you know, they're out there. Why don't they explain to us, you know, why all of them come over? One of them about 6 months ago when they were voting kind of was talking about me but wouldn't say my name. He said, you know, if he made it sound like I don't want to move forward, you know, well, you shouldn't be on the having a radio show if you feel that way. He said, I'm thinking of my kids. That's why I want my kids to live in a better way. So I'm all for Indians voting. I want Indians to vote, you know.
Got us in the table.
You know, that's what put us in this position, you know, when we look at what happened. They forget about. Remember that there's a picture of a tribal leader crying because he voted away the water rights?
Yeah.
You know, because he got pressured to vote away the water rights in his own tribe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they give up all that land for farmland for the dam. You know, he didn't want to do it, but he was forced to because of the Department of whatever the hell it was.
But Philip brought up a good point. And I'm glad, you know, what he said. So whoever's listening out there, you know, if you have some heart, if you're brave and got courage, you know, and a real true native, like you're trying to play with all them patches all over you, you know, call in and let us know the reason why you do that, the reason why you follow that way. Tell us that. And another thing, you know, quit putting us down, you know, like we're fakes or whatever, like you have your little stupid wannabes out there calling us wannabes, you know, calling us wannabes when we already have scars in a way of life showing that we fought against this system, resisted all this time, and still doing it.
We're still resisting.
Yep. So anyway, so I just,
hey,
I wanted to ask Vimber.
I wanted to ask Vimber a question.
Yeah.
This goes back to what was going on earlier in the show about being put out on the hill or being put out in the bush. I'm wondering if it's appropriate to share something that you saw while being out there before I say anything else.
You know, the way I look at it is that's between you and the Creator, what you saw. I mean, but to share it, that's up to you, because that's what you saw. You know,
well,
that was your dream. So if you want to share it, that's up to you. But the thing about it is that was between you and the Creator.
Okay.
But
then
if you
want to
share it, that's your choice.
But what I want to say, though, to add on to what you were saying, you know, look around, you know, at the things around you, and those are, you know, what you're there to see, you know. I've seen things out there. You know, last year, I went out in the bush for 4 days because, you know, Sundance didn't take place. So, you know, that's what I did instead. It's everything around you, the things that I saw, the nature that I saw and the animals that I saw is, you know, I would not have expected to see them so close. I mean, so close. And then hang around with me for 4 days. I mean, it was unreal. But that's all I'll share about it.
That's good, because it comes down to like what Crow Dog said. You know, miracles don't happen because people don't believe in the miracles anymore today. You know, mm-hmm. And what you're saying it pertains to that, you know, you're sharing that there's miracles out there, you know, they're not really miracles. They're just gifts. We're given gifts and privileges for being this way, you know, and the more you live this way, the bigger gift and bigger privilege you're going to get, like these medicine men. They live hardcore this way. So they get bigger gifts, bigger privilege, and also they learn life so deep and heavy. What they know will scare the hell out of a normal person, you know. And you know, like Vimber said, I'm satisfied with what I got right now, you know, and that's it, you know. And I do believe in miracles, you know, and I do believe in this way, you know. That's why I support it, you know. Like I said, last night we went up there and put someone on Humbletcher, you know, and was praying for him, you know, especially when we knew it was going to rain last night, and that was kind of cold when I was there, you know. But to sacrifice the modern conveniences and conditions, you know, I came back, I was eating, we was here cooking, chefing up and eating, and all of a sudden I said, damn, you know, look what we're doing, and there's some guy out there on the hill right now, you know, it kind of made me think, you know, as I said, wow, man, we're tearing it up here and warm here and he's out there. But I also know this. I didn't feel too ashamed about it, because I remember I used to tell people, don't fast and don't do all this just because I'm doing it or we're doing it. We're doing it so you can enjoy life. We're doing it so you do have good things coming your way. We're praying for you, for the people, to continue this way. So a person sacrifices, so that way, while he's sacrificing, there's thousands of millions of natives living in a good way last night and today, you know. So I didn't feel, I went ahead and continued tearing it up, you know.
Did you a piece of this cake? Do we have this cover cake?
Anyway, you know, we have and Jennifer, you're on too, you know. I mean,
all right.
We'll take Jennifer's take on this, you know. Go ahead, Jennifer. Unmute. Anyway, let me see who else is here. I think I know this number.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead. Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I did have it on mute. I forgot I was on Corey's phone.
No.
So I was listening in on everything that Vember and Wombly was saying, or pretty deep and helping our white brothers and sisters understand how sacred and serious our way of life is. And I hope that the listeners understand, and just not to jump in just with our ways because it may sound good, or they may be sincere and their intentions are good, but there's a lot of commitment and responsibilities. And I know some people I've met around the world that have come to our camps and Sundances and things, and it's never what they really think it really is. It's not romantic in any means of what they visualize of being hanging out with nature, because it goes a lot way deeper than that. And you know, I met a woman one time that told me she lived isolated, like in the wilderness already, and she wouldn't have any problems being up on the hill because she's already used to being alone up there. But reality was is that she came down early because she had no clue that there are spirits up there that are sacred, and not to be afraid of that. And they were trying to show her something, but she came down kind of scared. And I tried to tell her, you know, you can't go up there acting like, you know, you're not scared, because every time that I've ever gone up, I had the fear of God, not just because I'm afraid, but it's just so much respect of the sacredness and whatever comes to your altar. And you really have to place yourself in a position of your mindset to be able to connect with them. And like, I think it was Vember that said that anything up there, what's below you, like the ants, and, you know, they are the true scientists of, you know, what they do. All these creatures that are on this earth are scientists, and without them, we can't live without them. And, you know, I've had situations where I'm more from an ant and a spider and a fly that was up in my altar. And even though there was other activities going on, yeah, I heard a bird talking to me, and I seen spirit come in and other things like that. But the real thing was what was internal, what I learned from the spider and that ant. And it was something personal within myself of self-confidence. And once I grasped what the spider and the ant was really trying to teach me, it led my life to gaining something that I wanted personally. So when you stay focused on what you want in your prayer, that's all what you're really there for. It's not to impress anybody or to brag about it. And that's what I don't like, is some people brag and think after 4 years that they've been up on the hill or Sundance, they think their commitment is done, and that we know better than that. We're always the Sundancer for life, and we will always have a commitment towards Tangasala. And so appreciate everything you guys were talking about tonight, and listeners around the world, we natives do appreciate everything that they support us in. And yes, I was really appreciative of even Wombly calling me from, where was it, you were at St. Petersburg, Russia, and how much they respected my father there and things like that. And everywhere around the world, it seems like they know of him. It kind of humbles me that they do and understand the Lakota way of life.
Yeah, you know, what tripped me out too is the first thing I noticed when I was there, I went to this, was in the back, was walking, and there was an AIM flag flying. I said, "Dad, check that out," you know, and then later on, that's, you know, and I wasn't going to go, "Hey, who gave me that AIM flag? Who said you can fly it?" You know, I didn't get off on that stupid mentality. I said, "Wow," you know, and then there's talking about your father, you know, and I didn't want to be sitting there bragging, "Oh, I know him," you know. I didn't want to, you know, start sound like I'm bragging, like I know everything, you know. So, but I know, you know, I remember your father, and I remember, and you, you know, and a lot of your family, you know. So I said, "Wow, man, you know, it's a trip. It's good. It's a good feeling to be appreciated around the world. When right here in our own homeland, what are they doing? These Washichu, what are they doing? They're telling us, 'You go back, or we kicked your ass. That's how we took your land.'" There's Washichus that say that stuff, you know. And we live in a racist environment, you know, and look, Facebook calls us racist, you know, but they're racist. I said, you guys support all that white racism. I got mad. I was able to explain what the hell are I had a chance to fight my case, but I didn't fight it. I just got on there to get on their shit, you know, get on Facebook shit. Since they gave me that chance, that golden opportunity, I use that golden opportunity to tell them what kind of piece of shit they are, you know. Facebook, you know. And I said, "I don't care if you throw me off, period. I don't give a rat's ass, you know." I said, "But you guys are racist, you know." Anyway, anyway, that's how the kind of world we live in. And all of us live in it. No matter where we are in this country, there's racism, you know, against us. And there's people out there, even from different cultures, that are racist against us because they got turned racist from the white man. The white man had turned them on us, you know. So they come over here treating us like we're lower life than them. Asians do, even them Arabs and people we support. All the people we support, the ones that live out there that don't know us, automatically think we're all a bunch of drunks. But they're the biggest alcoholics on earth. Any American, all them, they're the biggest alcoholics on earth. And look at, they don't realize we got a lot of sobriety on our people. We can't count the numbers because we don't keep track of it. We don't have a record of every sober Indian. Our people that sobered up. Like, I know a whole bunch of people that are sober. How many, you know, I could even ask Bimber, how many does Bimber know that's sober, you know? And how many sober people does Henny know since he's here, you know? How many people, sober people, we know? We can't keep track of everybody sober. But I tell you what, there's a lot of sober Indians. There's more sobriety going on than people realize with our people. And I know that, you know. And
yeah, I really like what Jennifer said about about people not of the culture wanting to get involved and do these ceremonies. You know, this week, as a matter of fact, I got word that there's a music festival taking place down in southern Ohio, and this guy decided he was going to post that they were having Sweat Lodge. And I'm like, oh, really? So I go on their page and I'm looking at it, and they're talking about it. You know, the guy was looking for a canvas to go put over the Sweat Lodge. And so I sent him a message, and it said, you know, I respectfully request that you cancel this. You know, this is not, a Sweat Lodge should not be taking place in this environment. You know, there's too many factors, and you know, who's running this lodge and all this stuff. You know, you state that you're having, you know, people with service dogs can come to this music festival, but you know, this is what you don't understand. No dogs are allowed around Sweat Lodge. They're not allowed at Sundance ceremony. They're not allowed around any of the ceremonies. You know, and then you're serving alcohol, and that's a no-no. And the person that you have coming in to do this Sweat Lodge, that offered to do this Sweat Lodge, who's apparently a pipe carrier, knows he's not supposed to be around alcohol with that chanupa, period. And you know, and I said, if you would like to discuss this further, please call me. Within seconds, this guy calls me. And we had a really good discussion, and he agreed. He said, this is beyond my knowledge. He said, and you just gave me an education. I'm canceling it, period. There's too much that, you know, and you're right. Yeah, I mean, if you're telling me that this shouldn't be taking place in at a venue like this, then it shouldn't take place. So, I mean, it was a really good outcome.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like my niece sent me a message, all proud. She's going to Sundance in Texas. So I looked at it, you know, and I said, damn, man. But, you know, I could have jumped on her ass and all kinds of stuff, but I just ignored her because, you know, I don't even want to talk about it to her. You know, if you know, she's Lakota woman, she knows us here. If she's that far disconnected from us, then she might as well be in Texas, you know, with a bunch of peckerwoods, you know, as that's how I seen it. You know, what can I do about it? You know, I got mad, but I thought I let her know this stuff long time ago. But apparently I didn't, you know, and you know, it's really a shame that our people are, some of them are our old relatives are out there doing stuff like this, you know, being so naive and stupid that they should know better, but they don't know better. You know, and I guess, you know, Vember probably has his opinion on that. What do you think, Vember? You know what?
You know things like, you know, long before the white man ever came, we had these things, but there was no such thing as alcohol and drugs around us, period. So these people that do this, these New Agers or whoever they are, you know, that's, to me, it's not right. You know, they find something out that they think is okay, you know, without understanding who they are, where they come from. These ceremonies, this way of life, these ceremonies belong to the Lakota people. Sundances, all these things these people are doing. And yet, a majority of those people probably in Lakota trying to run it and trying to do these things. You know, what you got to keep in mind is that only the Lakotas could run these ceremonies. All these other tribes had their way, but they were taken away by white men. And now they learned something from the Lakota, and now they think that's their culture? No, it doesn't work that way. They had one. Find what was theirs. Use where they're at. The people that still have it left are the Lakota people. Look at that. Look at what I was saying. In 1 year, we lost 15 medicine men. That tells us something. Now we're down to, if you really look at it, we're down to three real medicine men. You know, Crow Dog, Two Dogs, and Dickie. Where's all the rest of them? You know, we're getting down there to where, you know, because of all these people doing these things, playing with it, you know, making a mockery of us Lakotas. Look at what's happening. See, I'm glad they're doing these ceremonies. I'm glad that, but yet, learn about it. Learn about who you are, where you come from, who does this belong to. Respect these people, but yeah, does look at all these Washitu. They're taking all these things. You know, I heard there's even an all Washitu from that somewhere. You know, no Indians allowed.
Oh,
that to me is taking it way too far. You know what I mean? And people, I guess, are okay with it, but our people back home, they're not okay with that. You know, these things. Remember, we was the only religion ever outlawed in the United States of America, and it wasn't legal until 1978. Really, it should have been in 1963 when Fools Crow went in front of Congress. But because he didn't want to sign the Black Hills away, they waited until 78 after Wounded Knees to appease the Indian. Oh, let's calm them down in freedom of Indian religion. That still exists today. All these people before then, we hid it. It was done in secret. And after 78, it came out. Now everybody wants in on it. But yet, you've got to be from there. We don't go pretending we're this and that from these other tribes. We don't do that because that's not our way. That's not who we are. Like our grandfather said, we could share it with these other tribes, but they cannot own it or they cannot be a medicine man. But yet, you see that everywhere. Even these Washitus are doing it now. These people that believe in that want to go that way. It's not a church. It's a way of life. These things are a way of life, and the religion or whatever these white guys have, you know, to me, they're a bunch of cults. But, you know, that's these Indians that do this better really check it out. Because they got their ways. Yeah.
Tashi, that's what they do. They once they use our ceremony, they use our ceremony, and it becomes a cult. You know,
yeah.
Like this one here, they're calling upcoming ceremony date, Sundance's VQ and tree honoring, Women's Dance, April 7th, People's Spring VQ, April 21st, Blue Star Sundance, May 28th. To the 31 is purification. June 1, tree day. June 2, 5, ceremony. June 6 is cleanup day. You know, you see, this, my niece going to this deal because, you know what, our people just want to go someplace to have something happening. They want to go party someplace. And that's what the whole deal is. You know, wanting to party someplace. And you know, what can I do if there's, you know, we have us Sundancers in the family, pipe carriers, and down here, she knew damn well we had a sweat lodge down here. She knew that. So why the hell is she bragging to me, hey, uncle, I'm on my way to Texas going to Sundance. In her brain, that's a proud thing. She wants me to be proud that she's going for Sundance. But all she has to do is wait, and we have some Sundances here. Lakotas have Sundance, you know?
Yep.
But But you see, they look for things happening because they are running with the Washitu so much. That's how it is. And that you can see damn well when, you know, when they having that Sundance, they're changing it to a cult. It's a cult gathering.
That's what it is.
It's not
exactly
a Sundance. You know, it's,
you know, they turn them into
all
cults.
Kinds of, it's all kinds of non-Lakota showing up and doing something. And I tell you what, I see whenever they do these Sundances off the res in different places, they're a butt hair from being a cult Sundance. Because like you said, like I said, at the end of it, they said, cleanup day. Cleanup day at the end. They had a list of everything. And the last one was cleanup day. That Sundance in Indiana, do you know, the next day it's cleaned up and there's people already walking over them Sundance grounds, walking their dogs, shitting all over, you know, because they're doing the Sundance in a federal state park or some shit, you know. And just in Oregon.
That's Salt Creek, Steve McCullough's Salt Creek Sundance.
Yeah. And you know what? They even had Lakota people go over there because they pay them. This Steve McCullough, he's not Lakota, but he says he's adopted in Lakota from the Runnings family, you know, and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And anyway, they started this doing that Sundance in Indiana, and people go over there and they treat this guy like it's a cult Sundance. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Once they leave, once a Sundance is not in Lakota country and it goes someplace else, it turns into a cult Sundance where people say it's like the Sweat Lodge. They said, hey, you're not supposed to stand around the fire. I said, what do you mean not supposed to stand around the fire? What the hell's wrong with you guys? You know, they had all these rules of things going on, you know, and we say, damn, man, look at all these rules they have. You know, if you come to our Sweat Lodge, we're laid back, you know. I mean, we don't have all these strict. Our rules are set. That's the way it is. We already know them. Everything is set. But you go to one of them cult Sundances, and what do they got? A bunch of rules. They got a Sundance leader, spiritual leader, that's playing God with everybody. You do this, you do that, you do that. And, you know, that's a good name for it. Don't you think, Vimber? I got a cult Sundance. That's what I'm going to call them from now on, cult Sundance.
That's- You know, that
Salt Creek Sundance, those people, Steve McCullough and them, because they were here in Ohio, it was found out that they were running sex trafficking and drug trafficking when they had it here in Ohio. So they're probably doing the same thing in Indiana. And actually, they got thrown out of Indiana years ago by the AIM of Indiana, Kentucky had gone against them and had petitioned the state to stop them, and they were successful. And now he's back in Indiana because Steve McCullough's girlfriend, or now ex-girlfriend, found out what they were really doing. So she threw him out and sold her family farm.
That's the other thing, Philip. And Vimber, that's why I'm glad Vimber's here. You can always ask them. You know, our ceremonies and our Sundances have no business in an American court.
Yeah.
When we're over there asking the court to say they can't have a Sundance, what are we doing? We're asking the white man to help us out with that shit. Hell with that. You know, If you don't want to Sundance over there, get your ass over there and run them out like a man.
Yeah.
If you ain't
going
to do it like a man, don't go over there to the court, petition to the court, and have them courts start determining who's the house where runs a Sundance or not. You know, you see, that's my point. And I hate to sound like an a-hole myself, you know, but you see, I have to be, we have to be really passionate about our feelings when it comes to who's in charge of a Sundance. You know, if they're doing it and we can't do nothing about it, then let them go and let Wakan Tonka stick them in, you know, take care of them. You know, that's all I can say. When they're doing something wrong, go ahead. Whoever's
okay,
trying to jump in.
Henny is.
All right.
But,
yeah, go ahead,
okay.
Henny.
Okay, like, Richard, you know that I was a shawl dancer, like, in the early 70s. Well,
yeah.
But anyway, you know, they wanted the Lakotas that had a lot of powwows throughout the United States. And I traveled with drum groups. I traveled with other dancers and whatnot. But it was always the Lakotas that they wanted at their powwows. And from there, you know, they copied our style of dance. They copied our beadwork. And, you know, a lot of the people would say prayers for them, or they say, hey, come to a sweat. You know, this Lakota man's running a sweat for us, too. So we shared a lot of things out there in the world. And Alkaline Lake, too, they also came down here to one of our medicine men to help that community sober up. And whenever the Sundance was out to Porcupine, ran by two well-respected medicine men, then, you know, that after those two had died, then it went to another person. You know, they passed it off to another person. And when they passed it off to another person, all the Sundancers broke off. Well, not all of them, but there was some Sundancers that broke off, and they started their own Sundance. And I was wishing that they would have followed that pipe. And so that pipe is handed down to another person, and those Sundancers, you know, that used to Sundance back then with those two well-respected men, they don't even go to this other person's Sundance. And so, you know, that's kind of like how all these Sundances start, you know, broke off, because the ones that did start their own, then people broke off from them, and then they started their own. And, you know, a lot of rules have been implemented lately, or have been implemented along the way, I should say, not lately.
Yeah, you know, and they turn into a cult Sundance when they start doing that. You know, because there's less and less knowledge. It's like that Sundance north of Porcupine. Rimmer knows what I'm talking about. Happened. The people took off from our Sundance and went up there, and they were too young to learn everything. So they only left with just a little piece of the knowledge, and that piece of the knowledge, they're trying to play Wakan with it, and lots of evil stuff start happening and things going on. I mean, look at, they even ended up somebody got murdered over that. Some people, the leaders got busted for drugs, a lot of other crime and stuff happening, things, their family dying, there a lot of what do they call that when you mess with your own family sexually? You know, they had that stuff going on.
Incest.
What are they called? Incest. Yeah, a lot of incest. You see, well, that's what happens when they break off from a person with knowledge, a person with wisdom. Me, I like hanging out with the person with wisdom. You know, and I stay with them and learn everything, because these guys know so much. You can't learn it all in 5 years. You know, that's what these guys, 5 years later, they got their own Sundance. And look at that one they were doing up there in Eagle Butte. They started smoking pot out there, saying, well, Tonkashila says it's all right. He made it, you know.
Yeah.
And
crazy.
You know, they start doing all kinds of wicked stuff, you know, and turning into a cult Sundance. And that's a good thing what you mentioned, Henny, about how we learn our ways from our people, from the old people. And, you know, and when it breaks off, it's usually from some young guys that was raised with us. You know what I mean? We like, how do you say, we train somebody to do this, and it takes them a lot of years, 20 years, 30 years. It might, like at Sundance, let the young guys run a couple rounds, you know, or something, you know. The knowledge that it takes to be a complete spiritual leader is too much, you know. So when they're breaking off and doing that, you know, like I said, I went over there, watched them pull up a tree at a Sundance, and the guy ran up, oh, take it down. We forgot to put a symbol at the top for their Sundance. So they put that on and raised it back up. Oh, wait, bring it down. They forgot to feed the tree. So they come running out with some buffalo heart and stuff, and they put it there and then raise it up, and then, oh, wait, we forgot the cherry sticks. They forgot to put the cherry branches across. See, people don't even know what a cherry, why we use a cherry tree, the cherry branch, you know, because these bring fruits. They're Wakan, and the Wakias, protect them. You know, that's why. People don't know why we use cherry sticks in an altar when we're up there in Lombletcha and all that stuff. They don't know all this stuff, but they want to go out and have a Sundance. You know, it takes years and years of knowledge and abilities, wisdom. But like you said, Henny, they run off and do this. Anyway, Henny, you could take the floor a little bit here for about 20 seconds. Go ahead, Henny.
I'm so excited. I finally published my amendments on Doksha Hour, and I'm going to start a little web page. But so far, it had 1,400 views on it. So people are interested in changing our government.
Yeah, that's good. You know.
What's that?
You know.
So there's my 20 seconds.
Annie, what site is that one?
What
site is that, Annie?
Doksha Hour. It's with Maggie Ross and Julie.
Hour, huh?
Yeah, Julie Two Eagles.
You say it's a website or what?
No, it's a website.
Doksha Hour? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah.
DokshaHour.com or what?
Just Doksha Hour on Facebook.
Oh, it's on Facebook. All right, Doksha Hour.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good. Washtay, you know. And
all I have to do is get like 4,000 signatures, and we're set to go for a secretary election, but we have 1 year to do it in.
Well, you already got 1,400, you know. And you should be able to do it. And you say you got a year to do it?
Yeah.
Oh. You
should be able to get that done, too.
Yeah.
I got to be picking up. Yeah.
Vimber could just have his kids, all his children out there. That's enough.
That's the tribe in itself. You're the tribe. Oh, the tribe.
Yeah. Vimber got more kids than Moses.
Hey, I'm running a race with Moses.
Yeah. You know, if you was over here on my side, I got the same amount over on this way, you know. You know, so, you know.
31,
you know. I have so many kids. They should have named me Abraham.
Hey, speaking of that, Richard Chich, you got more than me.
You got grandkids, but
you ought to be Moses and me Abraham.
Uh, And my brother Larry, they should call him Joseph. He's got a whole bunch too, but they're all hidden, you know. Joseph, Moses, and Abraham here, you know. But there's the rest of your votes, Henny, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just
in a couple of weeks I'm gonna go out and start getting signatures, so just letting them, you know, letting them sink in, letting them get used to it.
Yeah. Vimber will bring his list. You know,
get a bunch of paper ready.
Yeah, he'll bring his head, count.
Well, I'm going to a Wounded Knee Survivors meeting out to Ogallala, and I hope to get signatures out there.
Oh,
but
wow.
I should have been at all these CAF offices though, because they're meeting on that money. I guess we got $211 million. So each district are having meetings.
Yeah, you go to every community, you know. Once we hit that community. And then if you don't get enough, just start hitting the churches. Top it off. Wear your Jehovah's Witness dress and show up at churches, you know. You know, wear that nice fancy Jehovah's Witness skirt and go out and get some more. Shit, I shouldn't be sounding like that, man. You know, that's kind of joking about their religion, you know. But anyhow, might get spanked for that, huh? And hey, Jennifer, you have any last comments?
I did, but I'm sitting here kind of went blank. I was just gonna talk about. What the heck was I going to close up with? I don't know. But just thank everybody for their input today. Everyone have a good week and keep praying for. I do agree with about Uncle Leonard, Crow Dog, and it's up to him and the creator of what they're going to decide. And sometimes we are selfish and want to keep them, but everybody acts like he's going to be the last of the great medicine men, and he is, and somewhat, but there are younger ones that are carrying on these ways, and it's been prophesized that the seventh generation, you know, is going to be our leaders, and they are here. There's a lot of young people that are carrying altars, including my son and my daughter, that walk on this red road, and they do carry altars like their grandpa. So what are we losing? We're gaining new people, a new generation of elders.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, we need to have some young people stepping up, because we're losing, you know. And, hey, Philip, any last comments?
Just that I wanted to thank Vimber for his opening prayer. For the show, and you guys, you had me on mute, but I was over here cracking up laughing at the beginning of the show. You guys had me rolling, and I haven't laughed that hard in a while, and it felt really good, so thanks, guys. And, really good show tonight, and it was good to hear everybody, Jennifer and everybody else. So you guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, and Philip, you know, it's good that, you know, as an AIM director and leader that you're on top of the stuff that need to be on top of. Like I said, there's people over there, and I said it, we know who they are, you know, they're on a whole different trip. They're trying to lead our people over there. We ain't got time for that, you know. We got to preserve what we have. We have to preserve our people. And you know, people like Steve McCullough and those other people, you know, we have to just don't give them credit. Don't acknowledge them to nobody. And the same way with the American, we gotta quit acknowledging them. Don't acknowledge the American. You know, quit giving them credit for something they don't have. You know, like that Rick Santorum and all them, like Bimber was saying. We can't acknowledge the American. If we don't acknowledge them, the more of us pass it on, then other cultures maybe will realize that, you know, we don't need to acknowledge. This ain't even their land. It belongs to these Indians. Let's ask these Indians, these natives, you know, bring them to our side. You know, we can't bring them to our side because our people keeps acknowledging them. So when our people acknowledge them, of course, Arab or Asian or somebody else is going to look to the white man because we're giving them credit too. You know, we're supposed to be the on our own land. So why are we giving somebody who don't own it credit? So the other people say, well, they must. We'll just stick with the white man because these guys ain't got nothing happening. So we got to quit giving them acknowledgement, you know. Member, what do you think? You know?
He stepped out for a second. Oh, here he comes.
Well, brother, what do you think about giving the white man credit for everything? You know, we shouldn't acknowledge him. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, credit is no good here.
He said, I don't give them, I ain't giving them no credit. They got to pay me.
You know, hey, white man never gets no credit in my book. And they
we can't acknowledge them. The minute you call that guy our president, my country, when you mean American country, and, you know, like you hear when they bombed Iraq, Indians were saying, yeah, we're bombing Iraq. They said, we are, us, you know, about time we bombed them, you know.
What do they do against us?
Yeah, that's why I liked what Muhammad Ali said. Remember what he said, you know?
Yeah. You know, they're my oppressors.
It's time.
Not Iraqi.
It's,
you know,
we got to go.
The minute you give Washitus any kind of credit for some, man, right now, they're savior, the Indian. You know, shit, that's bullshit. You know, he came here and look at what they're still doing. You know, they don't even want to investigate their own kind. What does that tell you about the racism that they push? And like I always say, how can we be racist? We're the ones that are taking it all. You know, there's no racism. There's no such thing. When we talk about it, it's not racism. We're telling the truth, you know. So there's a big difference between racism and truth. They're the racists. We're not. We can't be racist. What does that tell these Washitus, you know? They're the ones that are like that. Look what they just did. They don't even look into their own kind, all these hate groups that they have. They love that. You know, Washitus love
hate
groups.
Hate the Hoshi.
Yeah.
We got to roll out of here, so go ahead and close this out. Uh-huh. You know?
All right. You Ja, jetzt schon hohe Wahlurechtleitung, du kannst da auch schon kila vor Juha. Hau mit ab, Jasse.
Oh, was der. And I forgot, you know, I didn't forget, but Layla, say hello at least, or good night
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I love everybody, Wombly. I'm standing in line for you, and I'm standing in line for Vember.
What did you say? You love my body.
And the spiritual life is the life for me.
You got Vember all now easy, he said. What about? okay. You see Vember? I'm still sticking with the bod, you know? Hey, but we got to go, and thank you, Layla, for giving us support all the time. Appreciate that. And all our listeners around the world and whoever's tuned in to us, thank you for tuning in. And I encourage some of those other Amesters to call in, talk, give us their opinion, and don't be acting all stuck up, you know. All right. Doksha, everybody.
Doksha.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah. more miles.